What's up, guys? Hope you're having a fantastic week so far. You may notice that our normal person did not open us up today, and that is because I'm doing this episode by myself. It's not something that we're going to make a habit of. Honestly, this is the first and only time I'm probably ever going to do this because I don't like it. It hurts my heart. I need my co-pilot here to make this work, but unfortunately, he just could not be with me tonight. I'm actually not even at home, so I don't even know if this is going to sound right. I am actually sitting in my dad's office at church, so we're going to go with that. Life's been a little weird. This episode is late, you know, better late than never. I'm going to be completely transparent with you for just a minute and explain to you what happened. I got a really bad headache like 4 days ago, maybe 3 days ago. I don't even know at this point. Anyway, would not go away. And usually, you know, like I can deal with it. I'm fine. I'll get over it. This one just wouldn't go away. I finally bit the bullet and I was like, okay, I'm going to urgent care. They can give me a shot, make this go away because nothing I'm doing at home is working. And boy, did they ever. So that was last night. And the shot that they gave me sent me on a spirit journey, I shall say. It just absolutely kicked my tail. And I texted some of our moderators and I was like, listen, the Something Sweeter podcast is not ready for me right now. Okay, they aren't ready for this whole like journey they will be taken on if I try to record an episode while they had me on like this weird cocktail shot to make my head stop like just banging. So I'm better. That definitely helped. And, you know, we're going to do other things to make sure that headache doesn't come back. But that's why the episode was late. Well, then we get to today. And there's just been a couple things happening this afternoon that's just pushed it out and pushed it out and pushed it out. And usually on recording nights, we try to start at 6 o'clock. That way we have like 2 hours before Andy, you know, y'all know how he is. If you've listened for any amount of time, he clocks out. He'll go to sleep while I'm talking. That wasn't looking like it was happening either because my man was throwing down in the kitchen making us some jalapeno poppers because we have started this low-carb diet together and he was making sure that we had all of the fixings, but I was having to make sure that we had time to record and it just wasn't working. I'm just going to record this episode by myself and we'll just make sure we get this out. And I think I literally broke his heart. It was the saddest thing. Just he looked at me and he goes, are you going to start doing it without me? Are you going to cut me out? And I know that he's been so nervous about this new podcast because he doesn't know, not that he knew so much about like true crime, yes, but it was easy for him to like interject in Booked, Bagged, and Tagged because he didn't have to worry about stepping on toes. I think he literally tap danced on everybody's toes on purpose. But with this podcast, he's tried to be himself, yes, but he's also tried to be, I mean, it's a Christian podcast and y'all know what I'm trying to say without saying it. I was, you know, and I think he's been so nervous. And then here I am saying, let's go. I'll just do the episode by myself. And I was like, baby, no, I'm not trying to cut you out. I'm just trying to get this done. And it's just been a weird day. So that was a very long intro. I apologize. But that is why Andy's not here. So if you don't mind sticking around and hanging out with me, I do have something that I've been wanting to say for a very long time. This whole episode is something that I have always had a very personal connection with. It's something that I struggle with to this day, every second of every day, and I will get into that. So we're going to look at this in the Bible. We're going to look at this in what Jesus taught, and then we're going to look at it in a very personal way for myself. So you're going to get to know a little bit about me, a little bit more about me tonight. But let's start off with a couple things. One, prayer request. My head, guys, it's a weird headache. I don't like it. But also, guys, just please keep praying for the show and that God shows us the direction that he wants us to go in with this. I've been struggling with what to put out and how to do that. Like, do I focus on TikTok? Do I focus on just the podcast? Do I need to focus on Facebook or Instagram and all these things? And you guys know, like, we've always been like kind of like a one-man show type thing. Like, we don't outsource anything. And we built Booked, Bagged, and Tagged from the ground up, and that's what we're doing with this one. And I know that they're very hard to compare because they're two completely different things. So what worked for one probably won't work for the other, but I am trying, and I just need God, you know, I need the guidance and I need the encouragement that you guys give every time I talk to one of you. You have no idea how much it means to me when I see somebody in town or wherever and they're like, I listen to your podcast and it helps me so much. Or, you know, I follow you on TikTok and it helps me so much. Like, you truly don't know how much that means to me, but how much I need that. I truly, truly did need it. Every time somebody has came up to me and said, like, every time I start to doubt myself, God sends one of you beautiful people to me to make me feel better. Something else I wanted to touch on real quick before we dove in is Israel. There is a lot going on in Israel right now with it's just a lot. I've been very careful to comment on this because it's a very touchy subject. Not that I didn't want to talk about it. It needs to be talked about, but I didn't fully understand everything that was going on in certain circumstances, and I didn't want to sound ignorant when I spoke about it. But I want you guys, I'm going to give you a little homework here. I want you guys to go read Jeremiah 49 and that prophecy, and it really kind of puts things into perspective for you on how close we truly are to the end. And that's scary and amazing all in once. But go read that and let me know what y'all think. And if you want maybe like an episode where we talk about that a little bit, that's definitely something I didn't want to do. I didn't want to get too into that tonight because I really want Andy to be with me with that one. So we started a listener of the week again. And last week, our very first listener of the week was Crystal Ratch. She is somebody who is very special to me. She is actually related to my brother-in-law. That sounds so weird to say brother-in-law. I'm used to saying my sister's husband, which is the exact same thing, but it sounds different. So, this is actually his aunt, and didn't pick her because I know her personally. I picked her because that woman has been out here sharing all of our stuff, and it just means so much to me. Like, every time I post something, Crystal is sharing it and she's tagging somebody in it, and she's like, y'all have to listen to this podcast, you'll love it, or look at what they're doing, or all this. And she's just like so hungry for the word of God, and in that she's just been one of our biggest supporters in this new journey, and I cannot thank her enough. And I also wanted to go ahead and give a shout out to our next listener of the week, which is Amy Campbell. So thank you, Amy. You have meant so much to me. We met through Booked, Bagged, and Tagged, and you have just been the best listener, and I'm so, so thankful for you. And the reason I picked you is because of the little story that you shared on a post that we had done about talking about entertaining angels unaware. And you'll have to go find the post where she commented. I had like shared a picture where they were talking about, you know, you never know if you're entertaining angels unaware. And she shared a little story in the comment. And I was like, it just blew me away. So I was like, definitely going to have a listener of the week here. And also the other weekly challenge I wanted to give you guys, aside from reading Jeremiah 49, is I want you to share what you've been studying in general. So you can do that in two ways. I guess three. You could post it on your Instagram story and tag us in it. You can post it in our group and just share what you've been studying, or make a TikTok and share, like tag us in the TikTok. This is a way that it, you know, it helps people know that we're here and we care about that stuff. We want to see what you guys are studying. And at the same time, you're sharing, you know, what you're learning about. And that's something that some people, if they may need help on, you could guide them in what you're doing. Or, you know, just, I just want y'all to talk more through this, because this is something that I really want this to be like a community of where we can talk about things like this. So definitely do that and let us know. Oh, I almost said, are you ready to get into this? And I don't have anybody to say, see, y'all, he's literally like not that far away from me at this moment. And I feel like I'm 1,000 miles away. We don't separate very often. I don't know if y'all know that or not about Andy and I. That man is my absolute best friend. Like, we do everything together, and I mean everything. My brother makes fun of us. My sister used to make fun of us too until she got married and realized that it just means you're in love. But my brother will make fun of us, and he's like, I can't believe y'all still text all day, every day, and that you say like you love each other in a text and stuff like that. He's like, that's so cheesy. That's so cringy. And I'm like, boy, you wait until you have that little love bug bite you. I'm going to make sure this person knows everything. I can't wait. But no, that's just me and Andy. We're super duper close. We're best friends. And I hate doing this without him, but you guys need to hear this, so that's what we're going to do. Okay, so we are going to get into this now. So we're going to be looking at what Jesus says about baggage, and then I'm going to walk you through something. Like I said, it's a personal thing, but I really feel like there's a reason that God has put this on my heart. This message is something that I have studied about for literally years. I remember when we were Sunday school teachers for the youth. It was like teenagers, I think it was. And I kept having this come up, And I never could quite get out what I wanted to say in a way that felt right. I don't know. So I don't know, maybe this is God's way of saying, okay, it's time. Like, share this now. So that's what we're going to do. So let's first talk about what Jesus says about baggage. And we're going to do that by looking at Luke chapter 10. So in Luke chapter 10, this is where Jesus is about to send out his disciples to go preach. And he gives them some very specific instructions on doing this. So in Luke chapter 10, verse 4, he says this: "Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way." To many, this doesn't seem like a very highlightable verse in the Bible. And by that, it's like not one of those you're going to see on a t-shirt. You know, carry neither purse nor scribe nor shoe. But think about it, okay? This verse can be broken down into three parts. He said, carry no purse, no scrip, and salute no man. So those are three very important things. So by no purse, he's saying, take no money. And you're like, okay, dude, like, pretend you're a disciple for just a second here. And you're about to go out on this journey, okay? And Jesus looks at you and he goes, I don't want you to take no money. I don't want you to take no bags. And I don't want you to talk to anybody aside from telling the good news, okay? But you understand what I'm saying. Like, don't dilly-dally. We're not dilly-dallying here. And I'm just like, that's a lot. That's really hard. Because, I mean, like, you're really putting your faith in God and handling this whole situation for you. But in Philippians 4:19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So he's telling them in that first part, take no purse, take no money, take no coin. He's saying, do not worry about what you're going to need, because I will provide for you. And where God guides, he provides. Say that again, okay? Where God guides, he provides. He will take care of you. There, if God blesses something, there's not a soul on this earth that can close that door to what God has blessed. There is not a soul on this earth that can curse something that God has blessed. And then in the second part, he says, take no scrip. And basically that's bags. He's saying, take no baggage with you. Now you can take this in a literal sense, or you can take it in a very poetic sense, if you will. So I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." That is so heavy, guys. I want you to listen to that again, okay? "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." So he's saying, lay aside every weight. This is something that could turn into a sin, or this is something that is pulling us away from God. Either way, it is heavy. It is so heavy. It's something that we are carrying with us daily. And this is where we're going to kind of focus the rest of this on. But I do want to go ahead and look at number three. So that last part, he says, salute no man. And basically right here, he's saying, do not let someone distract you. Do not get distracted from what I have sent you here for. Don't let somebody pull you away, okay? And I've heard my daddy say it a million times. It's, you know, have y'all ever seen, what is it? It's Indiana Jones, the very, very first one. And he's teaching up at the front of the class, and there's that girl in the front row who wrote, "I love you" on her eyelids, and she's just batting her eyes. Okay, that's what we're talking about here for a second. Don't let no girl come up here batting her eyes and pull you away like a lamb to the slaughter. Like, this is literally something that, you know, women, men, all of us need to focus on. How many times have you been so invested in church or, you know, your spiritual life. And then here comes along somebody that you've been praying for. You've asked God over and over and over, send me this godly man. Send me this godly woman. Please, I'm so lonely. I'm so tired of being by myself. And then somebody comes along and you're like, well, that's him. And then you start getting pulled away. Okay, first of all, that is not who God sent you if they pulled you away from God. But also, it is so easy to get pulled away and get distracted. And he is just here saying, salute no man, by the way. Do not let somebody distract you. And that, all three of those things he's telling, these are what he's telling his disciples before they go out and they start teaching. Take no money, take no baggage, don't let anybody distract you. Let me provide, let me be the one that holds the way, and let me guide you where I know you need to be, because I can get you there faster than you can get yourself. So now I want to get into this, the more personal side of this. This whole next part of the episode is inspired by a skit I saw about baggage, but I wanted to put a personal spin on it. I wanted to break it down in a way that I saw this. And if you guys have ever been a part of a youth group, if you've ever been in church long enough, I'm sure you've heard of the skit guys. I absolutely love them. They still to this day, like, I watched them when I was a kid and I've watched them, you know, older. They make me giggle. They are hilarious, but they also spread God's word in such an amazing way that I look up to them so much and what they do. There is a skit that they do about baggage, and I will link it in the show notes, but I want to break it down and kind of talk about each little one from my point of view and from things that I went through. And I hope that what I tell you in all of these things, you're able to take this and learn from it and grow from it. Let's just get into it. It's a lot. So you've heard it all your life. Okay. You know, she's got too much baggage. This person has too much baggage. Stay away from her. But what even is baggage? It's things that we carry, that other people have said to us or have done to us, and we carry that weight. So you start collecting baggage as young as kindergarten. Maybe it was the first time you were ever made fun of for something. And from that point on, for the rest of your life, you become painfully aware of what that is. Maybe it was your weight. Maybe it was you had big ears. Maybe it was the clothes you wore had holes in them, or your hair wasn't brushed. All of the things that a kindergartner just can't help. But now, for the rest of your life, you remember what it felt like when they laughed at you. Or maybe you were old enough to realize that your parents were fighting. Now, this part is not me personally. It's just something that I know my siblings at the time, going through my parents' divorce, my sister was very young. My brother was very young. He was 2. That means my sister was 5. So she actually was right here in kindergarten. You know, you're old enough to realize that mommy and daddy are fighting and things aren't going like you think they should go. Even as a kindergartner, you know something's wrong. And they don't realize that maybe you've listened to a lot of the things that are being said, and you're so little, you're so confused. But every word that you heard is scarred into your memory. Words hurt. They cut deep. It's the biggest lie that we can tell kids, is that words don't hurt. Sticks and stones may break my bones, right? The biggest lie. Words hurt. And when we start collecting baggage, we're giving those words meaning. You can't find your self-worth in words. You have to find it in God. Sometimes we collect baggage from those who are closest to us, like a best friend, or someone that maybe liked you or you liked them. Middle school. Middle school is hard. It is probably one of the hardest stages of life. And I say that not to downplay birth or marriage or, you know, financial struggle or anything like that. But it's this time of your life where you're too old for a lot of things, but you're still so young for most of things. And everybody's changing. Even from 6th grade to 8th grade, it's not the same people that you knew. Even from 8th grade to 9th grade, it is not the same group of people that you knew. And I don't know about y'all, but I still have scars from things that were in eighth grade, specifically a boy. And there was this guy who, when I was in eighth grade, he had a little crush on me. He was a super sweet guy. He would text me a lot. He would talk on the phone. And I really liked him as a friend, but I just didn't like him like he liked me. I was very nice to him. I never led him on. You know, if he talked to me, I would talk to him. I just didn't have those feelings for him. And he asked me out several times. And I told him, no, I just don't like you like that. I'm really sorry. And I did. I felt so bad. Have you ever wanted to have feelings for someone because they just seemed so nice and it just seemed so easy, but you just didn't have the feelings? Well, that was me with him. And then he decided, instead of taking the hint that maybe I didn't like him, that we're going to do this big elaborate gesture, okay? I'm talking involved teachers called me out of class to do this big, like, thing, this big whole thing of asking me out. And I even, for a split second in my head, I contemplated if I say yes, I'll save him the embarrassment, because I did not want to embarrass him. But then I was like, no, I don't like him. I can't do that to him. So I, again, very, very nicely said, I'm sorry. I just don't like you like that. And of course, he was very upset. And it was the next day. I was standing in the lunch line with a close friend of mine and found out that when I turned him down, he got very angry with me. And his exact words were, man, I can't believe I was ever in love with a fat chick. First of all, I was not fat. Okay, looking back now, when I thought I was fat, I was not fat. I was a baby, okay? But what he didn't know is that I have always, I'm talking like I remember being 5 years old and being sensitive about my weight. I have always been so sensitive about my weight and about how I look. And it was like, I would have rathered him called me ugly. I would have rathered him called me a million other things. But that one thing that he said, it literally stuck with me even into adulthood. And it hurt so bad. And what he probably has no idea that he did, and half the people around me had no idea what happened, is that it sent me spiraling. Like, I'm talking, it messed with me so bad that I would go days without eating after that, and to the point to where I was making myself sick. And I know some people don't understand that mentality behind it, but first of all, I want you to understand, I was 13 years old. I was also going through a lot at that time. And for him to comment on something that I was already beating myself up about, it sent me spiraling. Like, I, for lack of better words, I guess I developed an eating disorder. And it's something that I had struggled with for a very long time, even up until the next year into high school. And I started getting really sick because my stomach hurt all the time because I wasn't eating. And when I would eat, I would get really, really sick. And I picked up that baggage and I carried it with me for decades. It is something that to this day I still struggle with. I have to really make myself not weigh myself. I have to make myself not obsess over how much I've ate that day or what I'm gonna plan out and I'm gonna eat tomorrow or all this. Like, like I said, God, we're going to get personal tonight. I don't think I've even talked to my husband about some of this stuff. But there are days when I have bad days. And every single thought I have revolves around my weight and what I'm eating or what I have ate that day. And it's something that I have had to pray so fervently about, that God allows me to see myself how he sees me. And I mentioned a while back that my sister told me that prayer, and she was like, Bridget, pray that God allows you to see Andy how he sees Andy, allows you to love Andy like he loves Andy, allows you to love yourself in that way. And I've never heard that before. I had never heard anybody say that. And it changed it so much. And I mean, like I said, I still struggle with my weight and, you know, just being very self-conscious about things. And I picked up that baggage, like I said, and I just carried it and carried it and carried it. And, you know, I hated him for so long, hated him for that. But looking back, I mean, he was an eighth grade boy who got heartbroken and absolutely embarrassed in front of the people he did this in front of, and he lashed out. He probably didn't even think of it past that second that he said it. And it's funny now, I know he has kids, and specifically I know he has a girl, and sometimes I think and I'm like, I don't think boys realize sometimes how much their words can actually stay with a girl. And I'm like, if your daughter ever came home and told you that some little boy said something like that to her and you had to watch your daughter cry, how would that make you feel? And because I am that person and because I think so hard on that kind of stuff, it has made me raise my sons in a very specific way. Like when I have heard my little boys use the word fat, I'm like, we don't say that. We do not say that. Because I never want my sons to look at themselves and judge themselves the way that I've looked at myself. And that is something that if you're a mom and you have girls, you be careful how you look at yourself and you say things in the mirror, because those babies are watching. I remember my mom struggled a lot with her weight and just how she looked and her appearance. And I remember being very young, watching my own mom, you know, judge herself in the mirror like that. And your babies are watching. And I have to be very careful. Like when I'm having a bad day, I try not to let my kids see that, because it would break my heart for one of them to look at themselves and say, oh, I don't like what I see. Because they're every ounce of those babies, every single fiber of their being to me is beautiful. And I'm like, okay, that's how God sees me. And that's how I want to see myself. But moving to the next part, sometimes we don't even need somebody else to hand over the baggage. We just pick it up all by ourselves and we compare ourselves. There was someone who I was very close friends with at one time, and we split ways for a little while. And while we were in this time where we didn't hang out and we didn't talk much, she may have honestly never given two thoughts about me, just aside from, you know, hey, how are you, whatever. What she did not know is that I compared myself to this girl for years. I'm talking everything about her. She had this gorgeous hair. She had beautiful clothes. She had all the best bags, all of, you know, the cute car. She had all of the things. And I did that to myself. I picked up that baggage myself. Nobody handed that one to me. I made myself feel horrible because I kept comparing myself to this one person. And all the while, I'm like trying to make myself look like her. I'm trying to make myself have the things that she has. And God's like, Bridget, I did not make you to look like her. I did not make you to have the things that she has. But boy, did I ever pick up that baggage and just hold on to it. And funny enough, what I didn't find out until later is that she was kind of looking at me, wishing that she had some of the things that I had that I was never even thankful for. And let me tell you, the kick in the gut. So this person is actually somebody that I look at as a sister now. And honestly, she is one of my absolute best friends. She means more to me than she will ever know. And we got to talking one day and I was telling her this. I was like, look, dude, I used to be so jealous of you to the point to where it was like bad. And I don't even know why I singled her out. I guess it was because we were such good friends and then we didn't talk for a long time. And I just compared myself to her. And she was like, you have no idea. Like, I looked at you and I wanted this, that, or the other. And it was stuff that I'd never even thought about. And that made me feel so small. But it also kind of reality checked me. And I have to like realize I have a lot to be thankful for. And God did not make me the same shape that, and I'm not talking about body shape. I mean, like, you know, here I am, I'm this square and I'm trying to shove myself in the round hole. And God's like, no, dude, look, I gave you those edges. I gave you that for a reason. You're supposed to fit over here for a reason. Just like I made her so perfectly for that one spot. Just like you're supposed to be in this spot. And that was a hard lesson to learn. But sometimes we pick up baggage from those who we love more than anything in this world. And they don't realize that their words cut like a knife. My mom. Y'all have heard me talk about my mom probably until you're sick of hearing me talk about my mom. But not only is she a big part of my life because she's obviously my mom, but she's a big part of my testimony because of the things that I went through with her. My mom used to compete with me, and I didn't even realize that there was a competition to be had, but it's something like she would cut me down in front of people, in front of a boy I liked, or honestly, sometimes even men that I may not have noticed that they were looking at me instead of her, but she noticed those things. And suddenly, instead of being this protector, she became a projector. My clothes were so cute, sure, but it was because they were her jeans. Or pointing out minor flaws. And when I kind of started picking up on, hey, that's not really that funny, that's not a joke, it was, stop being such a drama queen. People are going to think I'm actually mean to you, but you're being sensitive. You're making me look bad. Stop. And it caused me to hide from her. I hid so much from her. I hid people from her because there was so many things that she competed with me. She had to know how much I weighed, and it's, I guess she had to know what her goal weight was for the next little bit because she had to beat that. But hurt people, and it gets uncomfortable, it gets tedious, and our natural tendency is to dump it on someone else, but that backfires. My baggage caused me to make a lot of really bad decisions and a lot of decisions that hurt other people, people that I loved. And it was this whole process of trauma dumping on people that I loved so much. And this is where a lot of people end up picking up another bag, so to say, and a very harmful bag. A lot of people end up picking up a sin, something that they think they control, something that they think they can hide. But what they don't realize is that a lot of times that secret sin that you think you have control of, it actually has control of you. And you get attached to it. It makes you feel better. Well, sometimes it actually makes you feel worse, but you've done it for so long that you don't know another way. You don't know who you are without that secret sin. And honestly, it gets to the point where you're like, what if no one likes me without this? Your sin kind of becomes intertwined with who you are so thoroughly into your life that if God pulls it out, will there even be anything left? John 10:10 says, I come so they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And you get to that point to where you're like, this doesn't feel like abundant life. I can't think. I can't sleep. I'm tired of being so strong. I'm tired of being the one that holds everyone else up. I cannot do it anymore. Matthew 11:28-29 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So I want you guys to go to God and say, God, I cannot do this anymore. I cannot breathe. Take this. And that simple, that easy, God takes it. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So if you're someone who has been carrying those heavy bags, the load of someone else's words, something that somebody done to you, something that somebody has taken from you, or maybe it's something that you've even done to yourself, and you have so much shame from it that you're still carrying the shame on top of the pain, guys, I just want you to take a second, wherever you are, whatever kind of baggage it is, I don't care. Maybe it's financial baggage. You don't know how you're going to pay these bills that you have sitting on your counter at home. Or maybe you're laying in the bed next to your spouse and you don't know if you're even going to make it to the next week with them. Maybe you're struggling to get pregnant and you have this heavy weight on you of wanting a baby so bad, feeling like it's something wrong with you, and all of your friends around you are getting pregnant and you don't know when it's going to be your turn. Maybe you're trying to figure out what you're supposed to even be doing with your life right now. You thought you had it figured out. You thought you found the perfect job, and then everything just kind of blows up in your face and you're standing here and you have nothing to show for all the hard work you've done. Guys, I want you to pray. I want you to give it to God. And I know that sounds like so simple. Bridget, yeah, let's give it to God. You know, I'm going to feel better about it and then I'm going to pick it right back up. Guys, when you give it to God, you have to give it to God. You have to stop picking that weight back up and loading it onto your shoulders. I mean, I want you to actually think about this as if it were real bags, okay? I want you to pick up that bag of self-consciousness. Pick up that bag of having that mom anxiety. I want you to pick up that bag of maybe somebody cheated on you and you have trust issues now and you just can't get it together with the relationship that you're in because of baggage from another relationship. Throw that one on your back. I want you to throw some abandonment issues on there too. Throw some addiction. Throw all of them on your back. All of them. And then I want you to think about this. Say, God, take it. And He can take every single bag off of your shoulder, every weight that you carry, every morning when you get up and you load all that back up onto your bag before you get out the door in the morning. Give it to God. I'm going to read it again, Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. If you are just, you're yearning for that rest, that moment where everything finally stops and you have that peace, I am here to tell you right now, this is what's going to give you peace. This is what's going to make you be able to wake up in the morning and feel like you can breathe again. Whether you're going through a custody battle, you're going through a divorce, you don't know if you're going to pay bills, you're struggling addiction, you're struggling infertility, maybe you are wreaked with depression and anxiety, maybe your health is just deteriorating and you feel like the devil is just taking chips away at your shoulder as we are speaking and he's just whispering in your ear, sure, go ahead and pray, but you know as soon as you say amen, I'm still going to be right here. Guys, it does not have to be that way. I've done it. I've done it 1,000 times over where I've prayed and then picked it right back up. But I want to pray with you before I end this. And I want you to go through the scriptures that I gave you today. Read Isaiah 40, 31. Read Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Read John 10 and 10. And I want you to recite these over and over and over. I want you to read Hebrews 12 and 1. All of these scriptures, guys, I want you to really dive into the word. And I want you to say, God, help me. Take this baggage off of me. Take these weights off of me. I want to be able to breathe. I want to have abundant life. I want to be able to mount up with the wings of eagles so I can run without being weak. I want to do all of these things that I know I can do. And I want you to pray with authority that God has given you. Say, take it from me. Because I can't do this on my own. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't do this anymore, but I know you can. So I'm going to close in prayer. And I want you guys to, maybe you even have to listen to this over again. Just take in every single word that I have said. And I want you to please, please say these prayers. Please read these verses. I bore my soul to you guys today on my own. And that, honestly, I know a lot of you have watched my testimony where I've talked about my mom, but to me, it's easy to talk about that stuff, but it's really hard for me to talk about the weight stuff and the body image stuff, because it's stuff that I still kind of struggle with today. And the only reason that I decided that I was actually going to say something about that is because I'm trying to give it to God. And maybe my story resonates with you. Maybe I needed to say it out loud so somebody else can hear that they're not the only one that has gone through something like that. So if you are able, close your eyes. If you are not able, I just want you to listen with me, please. But God, I just ask that you have your way in this moment with everyone who is here with me in prayer, whether it be the second this drops or a year from now. God, whoever is listening, they're listening for a reason. They made it through this whole episode for a reason. God, we are tired. We are so tired of being strong. We're so tired of being the one that holds everyone else up while we're just falling apart at our foundation. God, we ask that you help us let go of all the baggage of what other people have said, the words that hurt and that cut like knives, God. We ask that you take that away from us. We ask that you help us see ourselves in the same way that you see us, which is beautifully and wonderfully made, God. And we just ask that you help us learn how to walk and trust you and allow you to take these things from us. We don't want to be the person who hurts people anymore with our words in the same way that we've been hurt before, God. And not only that, the parents that are listening, God, I just pray that you give them the tools and the weapons to build up their babies so that they don't have the same baggage that we've carried, God. Help us grow these children into being godly women and men, and help us be the parents that we need to be, God. And I just ask you to please watch over every single person who is listening to this right now, God. And I pray that each one of them are able to breathe a little easier today because they gave their baggage to you. In your holy name, God, we pray. Amen. I will talk to you guys next time. Toodles.